We're going to be over in Luke chapter 18, starting verse 9 today. I'd like to say I appreciate the opportunity. Brother Paul texted us today and asked us if we would come and be with you all. And we appreciate the opportunity, but I'm just looking for what the Lord has in store for us here tonight. I know that that He's laid this on our heart for a reason. His ways are definitely greater than mine. Amen. We're going to start in verse number 9 today. Everybody that can, stand for the reading of God's Word. Chapter 18 of the Gospel of Luke, verse number 9. It says, "And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as the other man, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And that's all we're going to read here today. I begin to think on the church world today. I feel like the church world today, we begin to become a little bit of people. We think of ourselves as righteous. Amen. My righteousness is filthy rags, and that's all it's ever going to be. But it's by His mercy and by His grace that He saved a poor, wretched sinner like me. And that's all I have. All I have today is Him, and I'm going to preach to you a little while. All I have to preach to you today is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because Jesus Christ is what's going to unite when everything else divides, when we let our own doctrines come into the way, when we let our own divisions and denominations get into the way. Jesus Christ can still come through and unite us, because I tell you what, Satan has found his way to put a wedge in the churches. He's found his way to put a wedge with us preachers. He's found his way to put a wedge with the teachers. He's found his way to put a wedge one with another. But Jesus Christ, if we would focus on Him, He will unite us and He will bring us together. Can I get amen tonight? I tell you what, I begin to think as I read this scripture, how we've gotten far away from God and we've turned our back on Him, how we're focused on everything else. I tell you, we're going places and we're looking for faults in one another rather than wanting to pray for one another, rather than wanting to show mercy toward one another, rather than wanting to love one another. We've started looking for faults and we found ways that we could just let Satan divide us. But let's focus on Jesus Christ and let Him unite us.
Amen.
You begin to think about this scripture right here. Oh, the Pharisee, he thought of himself as a mighty man. Oh, how great he was that he could tithe what he could tithe. How great he was to do what he could do. But I tell you what, I'm like that publican. I just want to be able to not even look toward heaven, because I'm not worthy to look toward heaven tonight. I'm not worthy. Only reason I can look toward heaven and praise God tonight is because Jesus Christ saved my soul and He broke me free of all those chains that Satan had bound around me. And it's by His mercy and by His grace I can cry out and He can hear me straight from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
It's by His mercy and by His grace. He is all I have. If you're looking at who can tithe the largest amount, I'm going to tell you it can't be me. If you're going to look at who has the nicest house, who has the nicest car, I'm going to tell you it can't be me. But what I can tell you is the one that lives inside of me is the greatest of all. Jesus Christ. I came to know Him one day. I came to know Him. And it's the greatest decision that I've ever made. I tell you what. Can you feel His presence tonight? Do you know that He's real? Can you see that Satan is trying his best to tear down the churches? Can you see that Satan is trying his best to tear down the pastors and the preachers and everybody that's trying to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Can you tell today that the battles seem to be getting harder and harder? Can you see today that the world is getting where it seems like it can chew up Christians and spit them out because it seems like we're getting weak? Well, the reason we're getting weak is because we forgot about the one who saved us from our sin. We stopped preaching Jesus Christ and we started preaching everything else. But it's about Jesus Christ all the way from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Jesus Christ. All the world had to get in terrible shape for there to be a need for a Savior like Him. And the world, when all looked lost, here He came as a little baby born of a virgin. And when He came, and He came to conquer death, hell, and the grave, and He came to do everything that He could possibly do for you. Amen. And for me. Amen. But we can't do enough for Him. It's hard for us to get up and go to church. It's hard for us to get up and do this. It's hard to even let the name Jesus Christ come out of our mouth. We're ashamed of Him. If a church don't get on fire, many of us is going to find ourselves cast into the fire.
Amen.
Because we're forgetting where we came from. We look down upon people when they come into the church houses full of tattoos. We look down upon people when they come in shorts. We look down upon people when they come in not dressed like we think they should be dressed. Hey, well, let's just get back to catching the fish and letting God clean them.
Amen.
Let's get back to that. Let's stop looking down upon everything. Let's stop thinking of ourselves as righteous. And let's start looking to the one who is righteous. Let's start looking to that perfect and upright man. Where did He find Himself a lot of times? He found Himself teaching the sinner man. He found Himself down with the sinner man. He wasn't doing what they was doing, but He was telling them of what they needed to do. He could have easily been the first one to pick up a stone and say, "I'm going to stone this adulterous woman. You shouldn't have been doing that." But that's not what He did. He got Himself down there. He began to write in the sand. We don't know what He began to write. I've got a lot of thoughts on that. That's a message for another time. Amen. But He got down and He wrote, "Hey woman, where are thine accusers?" Amen. She looked up and it was just her and Jesus standing there. I tell you what, when you come to the altar and you get yourself right with God, you'll feel like it's just you and Jesus Christ there. You won't have a concern of everything else around you. You'll just feel His presence and you'll know that He saved you from the gates of hell.
Amen.
And you'll know that He loves you. I can tell you I love you. I can tell you I love you till I'm blue in the face. But it don't mean as much as when you feel that Jesus Christ loves you.
Amen.
It don't mean near enough when I tell you I love you. You have to know that He loves you. And He does love you. God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son. We just got through celebrating Easter, but in your heart and in my heart, it ought to be Easter every day of the week because He is alive. He's a risen Savior that we serve. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father and He's making intercession for you and I. Amen. We couldn't get to God unless He came. He's making intercession for you. When you get down to pray, He's saying, "Lord, Lord, they're trying their best," because He knows what it's like to walk in the flesh. He knows what it's like to go through this walk of life. He knows what it's like to be mocked and persecuted. He knows what it's like to feel when a best friend betrays you. He knows what it's like to sit at the table with your enemies. He knows what it's like. We don't have an excuse. Thou art unexcusable, man. Amen. We don't have an excuse good enough not to make it to heaven because He paved the way.
That's right.
There's no excuse. If you don't make it to heaven, it's your own fault you didn't make it to heaven. He's doing all that He can do to get you there. But it has to be up to you whether or not you're going to turn your heart and your life over to Him. It has to be up to you whether or not you're going to say, "Lord, I'm going to serve You to the best of my ability." I still believe in backsliding. Let me tell you, you might feel perfect and upright right now, but tomorrow you could fall. Tomorrow you could find yourself in a ditch. And it's up to you whether or not in that point in time that you look up and you cry out to God and you say, "Lord, forgive me again. I'm nothing but a sinner." Nothing but a sinner. Bible tells us that we all sin and come short of the glory of God.
Yes, it does.
It tells us that. We all know that we do. Hey, look at me and I'll look at you tonight. We're all nothing but sinners. Amen. Saved by grace.
Amen.
But that don't give you an excuse to sin. That don't tell you that it's okay to go out here and commit every sin that you want to commit and just repent over and over and over. There's a such thing as willfully sinning, and willfully sinning will send you straight to hell. We need to start cleaning up our walk. We need to start cleaning up our talk. And we need to start letting that light shine that people in the world want what we got. Christian people, we're sitting in the church houses today and we're looking out the windows and looking out the doors, and it looks like the church world today is wanting to go back to the world, and when the world should be wanting to come in here, we don't have nothing to turn back to. What's going on, church? Where has the fire and the desire gone? We can't blame it on COVID. This was going on before COVID even happened. COVID has just separated the wheat from the tares a little bit. This was going on long before that. The churches was getting weak. The churches was getting cold. I've evangelized quite a bit to know when you go into a place and you're not welcome, and when you're not welcome and you're trying to preach the Word of God, that means He ain't welcome. I know. Life is hard. But look what Jesus had to go through for you. And I don't care if you have to wear a mask or you don't wear a mask or what you have to do. It's time we get back to the houses of God.
That's right. Amen.
It's time we start listening to the preaching more than just on Facebook.
Amen.
It's time that we surround ourselves with our brothers and sisters in Christ and become one and unified.
Yeah.
Satan, it seems like he has his army unified. And what are they unified in? Their hatred for Jesus Christ and their hatred for you because you believe in Him.
Amen.
They're unified in that.
Amen.
And we that should be unified through Christ Jesus are torn all to pieces, and it looks like we're just scattered out everywhere. Me preaching, a lot of times I'm not welcome in certain churches because maybe the way I preach. Is that right? No, we need to come together. We ought to come into the houses of God. And when the man of God preaches, we ought to just be praying for him and listen and see what we can find that's meant for us to hear and meant to penetrate our heart. I don't need no fancy education. All I need is the Word of God. That's enough. That's enough. I don't need no books on biblical systematics. I don't need no Free Will Baptist handbook. I don't need no other books. Let me just tell you that. We're wanting to get above our racing. I tell you what, the Bible was good enough for my great-grandparents. The Bible is good enough for me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's good enough. I don't need anything else. This is the Word. This is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's let go of all these other things, and let's begin to get in His Word and begin to study, and let's let men start to be the head of the household. Let's let men start to be the ones that's taking care of the church. The women have done it long enough. The men need to step up. The men need to take their place. We want to blame women for running the churches in the ground because they're trying to run the churches. Well, let me tell you something. It's about time that the men step up and do their part, because it's our fault that the women are having to run the churches.
Amen.
It's the men's fault that mommy is having to be a caring mother and also the disciplinary. And then we expect the world to change. We expect something to take place. We're going to have to get our church houses in order, but before we do that, we're going to have to get our homes in order.
Amen.
Because we're going to have to get to the point where we're crying out to God in our homes, not just when we come to the house of God. We're going to have to cry out there first for the Lord to deliver us from what Satan's trying to throw at us, from those snares that he has out there for us. We're going to have to cry out to him in our homes for him to protect our children, for him to protect our wives, for him to put a hedge round about our household. Men, it's our fault that the world's in the shape that it's in. It's our fault that the church is in the shape of it's in. It's not the woman's responsibility to be the preacher, to be the teacher, to be all of this that stands before men. That's not what the book of Timothy says. It says the bishop should be the husband of one wife. Amen. A wife can't have a wife. That's an abomination in the sight of God. We need to get back to truth. That is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, there's going to be a lot that might watch this on Facebook if it's on there tonight that don't agree with it. But that's okay. If they would get in the Bible like I have to get in the Bible, they would see the truth. But we want to take some things out. We want to take away, but then add to. That ain't going to work in God's eyes. He laid this out here for you to be a manual on how to get through life. He laid this out there to be a manual on what you need to do, how you need to conduct your life, how you need to conduct your household, how we need to conduct the church.
Amen.
It's all there. It's all there. I guarantee you, you go home tonight and you open your Bible, something you might not have done in a while when you get home. Amen?
Amen.
You need to open your Bible more than just at the house of God. You get home tonight and you open up your Bible. I don't care if it's Genesis or Revelation, you're going to find something in there that's going to be a help to you.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't care where you start. You're going to find something. But I tell you what, before you even start, get down and pray to God and He'll find you something.
Amen.
Get down and pray to God, Lord, You show me what I need to read tonight. And He'll show you something that's going to help you in the day and time that we're living in. And He'll show you something that's going to help for what lies ahead in your life.
Amen.
See, God already sees Thursday. God already sees Friday. And if you would get in the Word of God, but you would pray before you get in there, and you would just let Him guide your path and lead you and direct you, He would get you ready for the battles that's ahead. That way, when you come upon them battles, you don't just crumble right in the face of the devil. That way, when you come upon them battles, the Lord has prepared you, and you're ready to fight the good fight, and you're going to keep the faith, and you're going to say, devil, not today. You're not getting a hold of my household. Devil, you're not getting a hold of my wife. Devil, you're not getting a hold of my children. Devil, you're not getting a hold of me. Oh, devil, I'm not taking you to church today. I'm leaving you outside. We're going to go in and we're going to worship one mind and one accord. And we're going to see people get saved. And we're going to see the church houses full once again. And we're going to see things the way that they should be and the way that they need to be.
Amen.
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 We've tried it our way long enough. We've tried it our way. Our way is failing. You look around. Turn on the news. All you need is 5 minutes of it. It'll be enough to make you sick to your stomach. Our way is failing. Let's try God's way.
Amen.
What is God's way? This is God's way. This is God's way. God wants what's best for you. God wants you to be ready for the fights that's ahead. God didn't send David out to fight Goliath without David being prepared. David had to face the lion and the bear before he faced Goliath. God was preparing him, and God will prepare you if you would let Him. We want to go out here though on our own. We think we're so upright, so righteous that we can do anything because of what we've done in the past. A lot of times, as preachers, you think, "Well, I seen 10 souls saved. Oh, I'm something. I'm something now." I'm as much nothing today as I'll ever be. I'm as much nothing today as I was last week. But it's just because Jesus Christ I can stand before you today. I'm still nothing. But I'm just somebody that wants to preach the Word of God. I'm just somebody that wants to be a help. I just pray, Lord, when I open my mouth, You feel it. Because He's the preacher. He's the preacher. He's the one that knows what's going on in your heart and your mind right now. I have no clue. Some of you here tonight I might have never met before. Oh, but God knows all about you. He knows that if you failed Him. He knows that if before you made it to the house of God tonight that you sinned. He knows that if you came in here tonight dragging a bunch of chains, just bound hand and foot. He knows tonight what you're going through. He knows tonight if you've came to the house of God with your heart full of hurt, with your heart feeling like it's broken in a million pieces. He knows every bit of that. But He's here tonight to help. He's here tonight to help you. We've got to a point where it looks like churches hate churches. We've gotten to a point where in the same church you can look across the pews and it looks like that there's people in the church that hate one another. The Bible tells us if a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath seen? He can't. I've met you tonight. It's my duty to love you. It's not my duty to love your ways. If you're going against God, I don't have to love the sin that you're committing, but I still have to love you. It ain't your job if you see me out here committing a sin to love the sin I'm committing, but it's still your duty to love me. You know what else your duty is? And we've gotten away from this. If you see a brother at fault, you're supposed to go to that brother. You're supposed to tell him the truth. Don't tell him your opinion. Tell him what the Word of God says about it. We've gotten away from that. We're too ashamed to tell people what the Word of God says. We're too weak and not bold enough to tell people what the Word of God says. We got to let people know. There's some people that might just be foolish. They might not have the knowledge that you have of the Word of God. Tell them what the Word of God says. Bring it before them. If that doesn't work, get you another brother. Take you a witness. Go through them. Tell them what the Word of God says. Amen. Don't just go behind their back and start talking about them and running them down to the whole neighborhood. Amen. Don't start committing the sins that they're committing, or don't start thinking that just because your sins are different that you're going to heaven and they're going to hell. We all need to get right with God.
Amen.
We're going to see a change.
Yep.
You know it's your duty because it's in the Word of God. If you know that Scripture, it's your duty to go to that brother that you see at fault. Do you know if you don't do that, you're going against the Word of God? Do you know everything you do that goes against the Bible, you're going against God? The Bible tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. What's unrighteousness? Not righteousness. Simple as that. What's righteousness? God and things of God. You know when you're committing something that's unrighteous. You know, and if you don't know in the middle of committing it, you know as soon as you've committed it.
Amen.
God will say, that wasn't right.
Amen.
God will say, you offended them. You need to go back. You need to correct that. You need to apologize.
Yep.
God will let you know. You know what righteousness is, and you know what unrighteousness is. The Bible tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy. You know, there's all kinds of doctrines out there. People, I hear it all the time. I hear people who believe it, that wine's okay and wine's not okay. And people let that become a big old argument. Let me tell you something today. When I see people living it up in this world and partying with that alcohol in their hands, you know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of evil. So let me simplify it for you. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Don't let that beer be found in your hand. Don't take that drink of wine, because there's so many people out here using that for evil. So that's pretty simple tonight. There's people divided on whether or not marijuana being natural is okay. Let me tell you, some of those people have been using that for evil for a long time. Abstain from all appearances of evil. It's a lot simpler than what we want to make it out to be tonight.
Amen.
We got to stay away from the lust of the flesh. We got to stay away from the things that Satan's laid before us. It's pretty easy when you start getting in the Bible and actually start reading it from yourself to determine what's right and what's wrong. We depend too much on the man of God standing behind the pulpit, and we don't get in here and read it for ourselves. And if he don't preach on it, we don't know about it. It's your duty to get in this Word of God and read from Genesis to Revelation. It's your duty to get in that Bible and read it with your kids. Meaning it's your duty to make sure that you have Bibles in the household, and that you take time out of the day, that you make sure that your kids begin to have a knowledge of God's Word. Meaning it's your duty to make sure that your house is going in the direction it needs to be going in. It's your duty to make sure that your whole family is found down at the house of God. Hey, that's not popular in the day and time that we're living in. But men need to step it up and get a backbone and start defending the church and start defending the Word of God and start defending truth and let go of all this foolishness and let's move forward.
Amen.
We keep waiting for some great revival to take place. Hey, God's still God. God's still God. God's just waiting on the church. I'm talking about the church. Those that's supposed to be saved to turn back to Him.
Amen.
To wake up. God's waiting on the church to start depending on Him once more.
Amen.
We've got to the point where we've got the vehicles we need. We got the home we need. We've got food on the table. We forget about the one who supplied the job that made it all possible. We forget about the one who made a way for you to get that job, who made a way for you to get the car, who made a way for that house that you're living in to be able to be bought or rented or whatever you do with it. He made a way.
That's right.
Amen.
As you sleep warm in your house tonight, there's somebody sleeping under a cold bridge. As you sleep in the dry tonight, there's going to be somebody standing in the rain. But we think that we're just so righteous. We think that we're so deserving. We sit in the houses of God with our arms crossed, like we deserve to go to heaven and like we're for sure that we're going to heaven. And I tell you what, we keep sitting in here like that, we're going to end up in hell. And we're going to be thinking in our mind, how did we get here? But you're going to know exactly how you got there, because you're going to know all the times that the Lord said you needed to move up. You're going to know all the times the Lord told you that you wasn't right with Him. You're going to know all the times that the Lord told you that He had a job for you to do and you turned your back on Him. You're going to think about every single time that you didn't heed God's voice. You're going to think about every time that He came to you and said, I need you to do this. I need you to talk to so and so. I need you to spread my word. And you spit in His face. You're going to think about every time that you denied Jesus Christ. You're going to think about every time that you had a chance to witness to a lost person that you didn't. You're going to think about every time that you didn't come down to the house of God just because you was too tired and you wanted that extra sleep. Don't you think when Jesus hung on the cross, He would have rather been in bed? But it was because His love for you that He hung on the cross until every last drop of blood went out of His body. Don't you think He'd rather have been doing something a little less painful? I'm here to tell you, He would, but He prayed till His sweat became as drops of blood. He went every step of the way, all the way to Calvary, as they whipped Him with the cat of nine tails, as they placed the crown of thorns upon His head. He done it all because He loved you. Now how much do you love Him?
Amen.
Do you love Him enough that when you go home tonight, you're going to tell that little baby you got, or that little grandbaby that you're holding, or the little grandbabies that might come to visit you? Do you love Him enough that you're going to tell them about Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Do you love Him enough that we're going to start preparing these future generations from the wars that's about to come?
Amen.
I'm not talking about the wars with other countries. That's the least of our worries.
Amen.
This spiritual war.
Amen.
This spiritual war. It could be any moment that Jesus Christ steps out of glory and comes and gets the church.
Amen.
In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, it could be any moment. It could happen before this service is over. Say, why? Why do you believe it's that close? Well, I see a coronavirus that's brought the church world to its knees, and a church world that's not recovering, a church world that ain't dependent upon God, a church world who's not humbled themselves. I see a church who just doesn't care anymore. I'm not talking about Lake Creek Valley. I'm talking about the church.
Amen.
I go to a bunch of churches with empty pews. I go to a bunch of churches where people just don't want to come down to the houses of God anymore. I go to a bunch of churches where they say, that preacher preaches too hard for me. Mm-hmm. We need somebody. We need somebody more modern that'll just tickle our ears.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, every church just needs some man that'll stand behind the pulpit that prays for the church, agonizes for the church, and preaches the true word of God.
Amen.
That's what it needs, and that's what we're lacking.
Right.
Brother Paul, I have so much confidence in that man. I know every time that man steps behind his pulpit, he's preaching you the truth.
Amen.
But how many Paul Reagans do we have?
Amen.
How many Danny Willises do we have?
Amen.
How many of these other men of God, I think a lot of, that preach the true word of God, how many of them do we have? Hey, we want to preach certain things. We take our picks, but then we skip over everything else. You know, I think the church world today, turn over here for a minute. I think the church world today would be better off if we were sitting here today full of prodigal sons and not self-righteous brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Prodigal sons. You see, the prodigal son, he left the father.
Mm-hmm.
He began to go through battles like he had never seen before. He began to get hungry. He was beaten down. He knew that he needed to go back to his father's house where there was plenty of bread for the servants. He knew where he needed to go back to. And when he went back to his father's house, he was humble and he was grateful. Where's all the prodigal sons today who have left the church because of coronavirus? Where's the prodigal sons today that need to return home? Who need to start coming back in? humble and grateful just to be able to gather themselves together in the house of God and worship. Where's the prodigal sons at? It would be great if the church houses were full of prodigal sons who had returned home. But what the churches are left with in a lot of cases is we're left with the brothers. When the prodigal sons return home, we won't welcome them back in with open arms. We'll say, well, why are they back? They've been gone this long. Why they won't come back today? People come in and they don't look the part. Well, why are they here? Why are they here looking like that? We think that we're all okay and that everybody that's sitting in this house of God tonight and everybody that's sitting in every other house of God is going to heaven. But I'm here to tell you, there's a great chance as we've gathered ourselves in here today that at least one of us is going to hell. Facts. Few there be that find it. Few. Few there be. There's a lot of people who still have just a little bit enough of desire to still come to the house of God. Still looking. But there's a lot of them that's too prideful to come and receive the many blessings that He has in store. Too prideful. That brother, all he would have had to done was just welcome his brother back. Took part in a celebration. Been happy. He wasn't happy. He would have been more happy if that prodigal son would have stayed out there where he was. And he would have had everything for himself. And that if his father would have threw him a great celebration, that would have made him more happy. We'd be more happy today. A lot of us would, wouldn't we? If people would just stay where they was at the homes, that way we could look a better part, look like we're actually doing something. When in our heart, God knows all about us and He's saying, you just ain't right. You see, you can commit sin without physically committing the sin. You could have already, as you came in this house of God tonight, thought ill of your brother and sister. You could have already, as you came in the house of God tonight, had thoughts about your brother and sister that you shouldn't have had. You realize you've already committed sin? Hatred starts in the heart. That's where hatred takes place. You begin to have thoughts go through your mind, and you let it begin to sink into your heart. And before you know it, Satan's controlling you. And when Satan enters in, Jesus is heading on out. You have to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You have to choose. You can't serve Satan and serve God. You can't serve the world and serve God. You serve one or the other. When you're serving one, you're pushing the other one out. I'm glad of the day I decided I was going to serve the Lord and I pushed Satan out. I'm glad that every time that he's tried to work his way back into my life, I've had a God that I could call upon and say, this battle's too great for me. This battle's too great for me. This battle could defeat me, Lord, but I know you're a mighty God that's going to help me through it. Help me, Lord. That's all I can say a lot of times. Help me. And He's never let me down. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But that prodigal son, I thought over here, if you read in chapter 15, verse 8 in the Gospel of Luke, talks about the woman. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? I've had all this scripture running through my mind and it all works together. Because if we're a good Christian and we see that our brother or our sister has lost something that they once had, what do we need to do? See, it says right here that this woman lights a candle. But you know what us as Christians should do? As we see our brother and sister, as it looks like they're trying to light their candle to look for what they once had, we ought to let our light shine in that room as well. Because as you're letting your light shine, they'll see in you what they once had. They'll have that desire restored. I'm sad to say a lot of people look at us and they'll say, I don't want what they got. I don't want what they got. They look like the most miserable people I've ever seen. Why do I want to go to church with them? They don't have a desire to be around us. Because we only live it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays. I know it hurts sometimes, don't it? As I was reading this scripture, I thought, Lord, you just help me move up before I preach this message. Lord, you help me get where I need to be. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that simple. But the hard part is pride and confession. Satan's telling you, oh, but you're living a perfect life. Oh, you're doing good for yourself. You don't need to move up. You don't need to do anything when you're down at the house of God. You don't need to testify. You don't need to tell the prayer request that somebody's asked you to tell. He's telling many people today, just stay at home where you're at. There's going to be some that get so comfortable at home and never come back. The church world today, we need to try to get out of our comfort zone. Get off of the padded pews. Stand up a little bit. Praise God. Raise our hands. Use these legs that He's given us. And we need to use our heart and let the world know that even though that it looks dark out here, that Jesus Christ still loves them and that we still love them.
Yes.
We need to let the world know that we're not the Pharisee. We need to let the world know that we're not the righteous brother. We need to let the world know that we was once in the same shape that they're in today. And the same one that can make a way for them made a way for us one day. And tell them all about it. And let's start telling. Let's just start spreading it across the world. What Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
Let's be a joyful people. We've lost. I know a lot of people. We've lost a lot. We've lost a lot because of COVID. Our hearts are saddened. I knew Sister Judy. I knew her and it, I still think about it. It tears my heart up to think about the ones that we have lost. But they're not truly lost, are they? We know exactly where to find them.
That's right.
The ones who was born again, we know exactly where to go to find them. So we need to act like we're the ones that's going there. And I tell you what, they couldn't care a thing on earth about you tonight. Let me just tell you. Because they've seen Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I feel His presence, I'll be honest with you, when I feel His presence, I don't have a care in the world. When I feel His presence, I ain't thinking about everything else. I'm thinking about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's enough. He's all that I need. When they walk through, when to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. When they got in the presence of the Lord, they didn't have a care on earth about anything else. So we need to just go ahead and we need to be joyful. And we need to act like we're going where they're at. And most of all, we need to act like we're going to see Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. Be a joyful people. And let our light shine. Hey, we were to be humble. At this point, we were to be broken. We were to be broken. We were to be humble. And we were to be going to the one who's got plenty of bread. We were to be going to the one who has all the answers. We were to be going to the Father. I think it's about time. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Amen. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You say, why ain't the land been healed? Are we a humble people? Are we humble? Are we praying like we need to be praying? Are we seeking God's face? I've heard that scripture so much since COVID's been going on, over and over and over. Why are we still going through what we're going through? We ain't humble people.
Amen.
We're prideful people. We're boastful people. We're still walking around with our chests out and our heads held high like we're somebody. Let's start doing like this publican did. Let's start just looking down, Lord, I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy. I'm not even worthy to be able to be at your house today. Lord, I'm not even worthy to be able to make it to heaven. But Lord, I'm glad that you seen fit to send your Son. I'm glad that you made a way. Let's find a way, church, to humble ourselves. Let's find a way.
Let's start feeling those emotions where them tears begin to roll down your face again.
Amen.
Let's start feeling them. Let's not be ashamed of them. Let's not cut off the tears. We've been ashamed of them too long. We've been ashamed of Him. And one day He's going to look at us if we ain't careful. If we don't humble ourselves and change our ways, one day He's going to look at us and He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me." And you're going to stand there, and I don't believe you're going to have a thing on earth to say. Because I believe, as Paul's preached many messages to this church, as I've preached here today, if something has dealt with your heart and you leave here, you're going to leave here sorrowful. And you're going to know that you've done wrong. And when you stand in judgment, you're going to know that you was wrong. You're going to know. You're going to be speechless. But you're going to be able to do just enough confessing, because it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You're going to be able to do just enough confessing. Amen. You're going to be able to, no matter how you feel today, if you feel like you can't kneel down on this altar, there's going to come a day where you're going to have to knee. You're going to have to kneel down. Because when it says every knee, that means yours, that means mine. When it says every tongue, that means yours, that means mine. That means this Pharisee. That means the prodigal son. That means his brother. I would rather confess now than confess later. I would rather try to get it all out in the open now, has to hide it now, and have to confess it later. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. I just want to give you the opportunity. I always believe when we come to the house of God, there needs to be an opportunity. If you need to pray, come and pray. You might just feel like you're weak and like you need strength. He is your strength. Come and gain strength from Him. Come and get where you need to be with Him. Come and cry out to Him. There's nobody sitting in this house of God tonight that's going to be laughing at you or making fun of you. There's going to be a bunch of people today that would just love to bow their heads and pray with you. There's going to be a lot of people in here today who would just be happy that you came. We're all just trying to make it home. Every one of us. Does anybody here tonight, just for a moment, want to come and pray? Just for a moment. Maybe where you're sitting at tonight, maybe you're sitting there, you're just praying, "Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me." Pray to Him. Cry out to Him. When you get home tonight, cry out to Him. We're going to have to get our houses in order if we're ever going to see the church house full. We're going to have to get this tabernacle that you look at every day in the mirror. You're going to have to get that in order if we're ever going to see these church houses full. We're going to have to be what God wants us to be. He didn't call us when the day that He saved your soul. He didn't just save your soul just to sit down right where you're at and never move. Everybody, I believe, has the ability to reach at least one and lead them to the Lord. I believe that. I believe you're going to come into contact with somebody in your life that you can lead to the Lord. It's our duty. It's our calling. When He saved us, He gave you a testimony. Think about the woman at the well for just a moment. As she came to the well, as she met a man called Jesus, she went running back to the town, and it was because of her words that they first believed. But then they believed because they came to know Jesus. Your words can do a whole lot of good, but they can do a whole lot of damage when you go out here in this world. What have your words been doing? Have your words, has your mouth been something that'll make people want to come to the house of God that you come to every Sunday and every Wednesday? Or has your mouth been something that's just turned them away, made them want to stay home, made them think that they can live just as good as you, and them out there lost as a ball in high weeds? Think about it today, just for a moment. Anybody want to come and pray? Just by uplifting your hand, say, "Preacher, please remember me when you pray." Anybody? just by lifting your hand. Nobody's looking around. If you just desire prayers, if you've grown weak, bless that hand. Anybody else? Bless that hand. Is there anybody else who just desires prayer? Maybe you've not been feeling well. Just anything that you need me to pray for today, just by lifting your hand. All right. I can look up. Amen. I just want to say it was a privilege to get to be with you all tonight. I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you all heard anything from Brother Paul. I don't know, but we've been praying for his sister-in-law. I hope all is well with that, but I haven't heard. But we thank a lot of Brother Paul, and we appreciate him for inviting us out. And like I say, it's been a pleasure being down here at Leak Creek Valley. It always is. Amen. Appreciate getting to see y'all once again. And we just got to stick in this together.
Amen.
We got to be unified through Jesus Christ. It's all we have. I'm like Paul was. Paul, he had a whole lot of knowledge. And I'm not like him in that fact, let me tell you.